Welcome to the Theater in Chicago podcast, your audio source for what's going on in the Chicago theater scene. This is the episode for August 11th, 2008, and on this episode, we have an interview with Henry Godinez about the upcoming Latino Festival. Also, we have Chicago's theater news for you, so get ready, Chicago, and let's talk theater.
Hello, this is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's interview podcast. Our guest this week is Goodman Theater's resident artistic associate, Henry Godinez, who is one of the busiest directors around. Welcome, Henry.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
First thing, we're going to talk about the Latino Festival at the Goodman Theater, and I have to start out with your tremendous production that you directed of Esperanza Rising.
Thank you very much.
Tell us a little about that show, because it's a co-venture with Chicago Children's Theater.
It is, absolutely. It's actually a Chicago Children's Theater production, and it's sort of an association with the Goodman. We very much wanted it to be part of the Latino Theater Festival, and yet because of the confines of the festival and so many things happening, and for Chicago Children's Theater to get a decent run, it had to open earlier. So it opened the end of June and has run all of July.
Well, I thought it was marvelous. Besides telling a terrific story about the plight of an immigrant coming to the U.S., but it dealt so much with Mexican folklore and culture in a very positive way. I never really understood some of the high culture of Mexico until I saw the play. The mariachi music was fabulous.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That really, to me, the mariachi really kind of ground the play and give it the atmosphere and the texture that really, for me, makes the play so rich. This production, I should say, so rich. Because the script that we were working with was pretty much based on a production, the original production at Minneapolis Children's Theater, which is a tremendous, it's really pretty much the flagship children's theater in the country.
Yeah, that's what everyone talks. I've never been there. I've got to make it up there one
day. It's amazing, an amazing organization. But I just felt like, I don't know, I took the piece a little more seriously than perhaps it seemed to be on the page, and the mariachi and that in the text, it seemed to me very broad and cartoony, and I can see the value of that. It just didn't feel like my take on the production. So we made them very sincere and very folkloric, and very much a part of the story. I saw them as kind of the Greek chorus. You know, they're our storytellers,
particularly in Act Two when the Okies come in, you do a little Woody Guthrie, and then you do This Land Is Your Land in a mariachi style. I thought that was quite clever.
Well, you know, that actually is a direct takeoff on an album, on a version of that song that was done by our musical director, Victor Pichardo, and his group, the Sones de Mexico, which they were actually nominated for a Grammy for that song.
Is that right?
And that CD.
Say that once more, because some of our listeners might want to buy it. I'm interested.
Well,
it was really strong.
The name of the band is Sones de Mexico, and Victor Pichardo, our musical director, is just an amazing human being, an incredible musician, a beautiful spirit, and I think that much of the beautiful energy of the music is, well, I think completely attributed to him and the musicians that he put together for us.
Yeah, it was the chorus and the underscoring of a very serious play. Well, congratulations
Thank
on that.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And folks, remember that anything that the Chicago Children's Theater does, they're top equity, they hire the top directors, it's first class all the way.
It's a great company, and Chicago deserves a world-class children's theater. You know, it's a world-class city.
Yeah.
We deserve that.
Yeah, and so tell us about, this is the fourth Latino Festival.
Fourth one.
And you are the curator, is the word they use. So what does a curator do?
Well, you know, I think they're not sure whether to call me curator or director. I guess I'm the person that puts it together, basically. I have the great privilege of putting this together, and the Goodman supports me 110% on it. And it's a privilege to have the machine of the Goodman Theater behind me.
That helps a little bit.
It does. You know, I travel around. I go to Spain and Central and South America. I see stuff around the country. I keep my ear to the ground, my colleagues around the world. And, you know, we put this together very purposefully in a way that will nurture and develop our Latino theater-going audiences and our community here in Chicago, but at the same time, be very accessible and enjoyable to non-Latino audiences, because that's the idea, is to bridge the gaps between our communities, to allow people to really enjoy and celebrate our culture and realize that there are many, many more similarities than there are differences between us.
That's true, and I've been privileged to cover them the last two, and there are some really interesting. It varies. Latino is such a large thing, because you have Cuban, you have Mexican, you have stuff from Puerto Rico, from Spain,
exactly.
South America.
Yes.
And folks, they're not all the same.
Oh, goodness, no.
The only thing they have in common is somewhat of a language,
is
right?
Is language.
Yeah.
Language, with, you know, in the same way that we have English in common with the Australians and the British and the South Africans, but we're all very different. So
tell us the process of selecting the works, because I'm going to have you go over some of the different works just to give people a flavor for it. But, folks, I can tell you that almost anything that comes up, whether you know what it's about, it's worthwhile because of this gentleman, his pick, and understands what terrific art is.
Well, thank you. Thank you for saying that. I've been in Chicago 24 years. I love this city. I'm deeply committed to not only theater in Chicago, but Chicago as a city and as a city of many communities. So we put the festival together in a way that will have something for everyone, you know, which is why we have theater for young audiences. We have theater for, you know, what we might consider acculturated Latinos that have been in this country two or three generations, you know, that have grown up maybe speaking Spanish at home, but maybe not speaking Spanish at all, but that still feel a deep pride in their heritage. And then we have theater for, you know, very intensely Spanish-speaking segments of our community.
So you consciously made an effort to have this variety.
Absolutely.
It's like a smorgasbord.
It is. It is. It's like a cafeteria of Latino theater, and you just get your tray and you walk right through.
Now, are these mainly original works, or are some of them established works from other countries?
It's both. For instance, in one of the important, for me, components of the festival, and there are several different components. There's young audience. There's a big, significant part of the festival that we devote to our local companies, because we have international companies, national artists, and then we showcase our local Latino theater companies, because we have incredible Latino theater.
We sure do.
And it's very important that we showcase that.
All right, let's go into some of the shows.
Okay.
Whichever point of view you want to take first.
All right.
And let's go over some of the work that they have coming up.
Well, we'll start with chronological order, I suppose. And the first weekend is kind of a local component, but it's a very fleshed out, big, fully produced component, in that we're Esperanza Rising from Chicago Children's Theater, and Al Son Que Me Toques, Lorca, which is Laura Crota's adaptation of García Lorca's Blood Wedding, Bodas de Sangre. And it's very much influenced by her native Veracruz in Mexico. Laura is in Esperanza Rising, actually. She plays the nursemaid, and she splits her time between Chicago and Mexico City.
As an actress?
As an actress, wow. And as a director, and as an educator.
True. I didn't know that. That's terrific.
She's amazing, amazing. And so it's a beautiful, beautiful adaptation of Blood Wedding. Now, it's all in Spanish with no super titles, but it's so visual, and there's so much dance and movement, and it's so visual that she feels very strongly that even if you don't speak Spanish, that you will enjoy it.
Well, that's opera.
It is opera.
I mean,
exactly.
How many people really read the subtitle? After a while, if an opera is well performed, you don't need to read them maybe every once in a while, because with the emotion and the acting out and the music and everything does it.
That's a great point. Yeah. Exactly.
So that's that one, and that's going to open on August 8th. But
August 8th.
Mm-hmm. The schedule, if you go to the Goodman's website, the schedule is right on there.
That's right. It is show by show and for the entire festival.
Well, good. I'm marking that one down because
good. Oh, it's going to.
I wasn't sure if I could. How much I would see in the purely Spanish ones.
Oh, you would would totally get it. And that one is the only one that's completely in Spanish. Well, I lied. The Aguijón Theater Company, which was one of our local companies, they are in the second week, I believe, and they perform primarily in Spanish, and they'll be doing a new piece that's actually based on a Tennessee Williams play. And it will be all in Spanish with no super titles. But they've done that every year for the last three festivals, and they pack the theater. I don't know what it is. I think that there is a large audience that wants to come and hear theater in Spanish, whether they understand it or not. There's something
back to that opera analogy. Exactly. Like hearing it in the German or the Italian really makes a difference.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, so let's keep rolling now.
I just want to mention briefly that we have among our local companies in that first week, I think on Monday, the 11th, we're presenting one of our younger Latino theater companies in the city, Urban Theater Company. They're going to be doing a kind of a retrospective of their work in the lobby. It's an event, really. It's not so much a production or a play, but it's an event. It's like a party. It's like a get-to-know-us.
Is that the Albany Park Theater Project?
No, that's an Urban Theater Project and a theater company, and they're a brand-new addition. They're hot off the press. And that's on Monday the 11th, and it's going to be here in the lobby.
Oh, okay.
So it's the bar's going to be open, and they're bringing some of the young people from the Puerto Rican Cultural Center that do spoken word. So it's just
interesting stuff.
It's really cool. There's going to be music and some reading of scenes from new plays that they do. It's just an opportunity to expose them to a broader audience and to make people aware that throughout the city we have really cool grassroots stuff like that going on.
Yeah, and it seems to be growing, doesn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely.
As I noticed on here, Teatro Luna.
Yeah, Teatro Luna.
That's the
all-female company, Teatro Luna.
And I've seen some really good stuff they've
they
done.
Oh, they are amazing. And let me tell you, they are breaking out nationwide. They are making quite an impression around the country. And they're doing a new piece of theirs called Jared, which is... Tanya Saracho wrote this piece. If you don't know these guys, you got to see them. The ladies, I should say. They are... hilarious. They're brilliant performers. Tanya is a brilliant playwright.
I see a word in here called hoodoo, H-O-O-D-O-O comedy. And then the Spanish witchcraft.
Yeah, brujeria.
Give us a little hint of what that's about.
Well, I this is a brand new piece. They're developing it even as they get it ready for the festival. So I can't tell you much about it, except that it's about a woman who gets jaded she's jaded by her boyfriend's dumping her. And so she turns to brujeria, to witchcraft. So it's a whimsical, humorous insight into the witchcraft world that is a very, very real part of the Latino culture.
Okay, that should be interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be very fun, I think.
And one I've got my eye on is this Cultural Clash.
Oh, Culture Clash, my goodness.
Tell us about that.
Well, they're huge. Culture Clash is huge. They are the preeminent Latino theater, Latino sketch comedy troupe. They have been for 25 years at least, and they're from California. They're very funny, these three guys. They are very satirical and very poignant. You've seen them. I know you've seen them in movies.
Yeah.
They had their own TV show for a while.
Yes, I have seen them here and there. Yeah.
And,
they're really energetic.
Oh, they're fantastic. Yeah. One of the three guys, Richard Montoya, is in Nacho Libre. So my daughters, who are huge fans of Jack Black in that movie, are... can't wait to come see him. I wouldn't say it's for young audiences. I'd say that Culture Clash is, it's Saturday Night Live kind of Second City sort of
done
sketch
in
comedy. Oh, yeah. It's in English, and it's amazing. Amazing. You don't want
Not to, for children.
No, I would say high school, college.
Because it's got a little edge to it. Huh?
Yeah, definitely has an edge and probably some language. But they have a huge underground following in the college kind of circles. So it's definitely a young adult very cool evening of theater.
Well, now I'm glad you explained that, because that's definitely, and that is on my list.
Yes, yes. You don't want to miss that one. They are amazing, those guys.
Taking Flight?
Taking Flight is a solo piece by a truly brilliant actress named Adrienne Sevan. And Adriana is, she's just one of the great Latino theater, Latina actresses around the country. And this is an autobiographical piece. She wrote this and she performs it. It's a solo piece that is based on her experience with a dear friend of hers who was severely injured on 9/11 in New York City.
Ooh.
And Adriana's efforts in trying to help her recover. She was in the hospital for months.
She plays both roles, right?
She plays both roles, and she plays a myriad of other roles in her life.
Well, that's on my list, too.
Oh,
I absolutely love one-person shows.
Oh, and she's amazing.
I'm sure you know, as a director, that if they get mounted, they're usually pretty darn good because they're so hard to do.
Yeah. Incredibly hard. And she's captivating, and she's beautiful, and she's funny, and the end is so touching. It's heartbreaking, but at the same time, it's a good kind of heartbreaking. So I think that's going to be a really, really... It was a huge hit in Southern California, and we're very, very proud that we can have it here.
Okay. And you do have some stage readings, I've noticed.
Yes.
Tell us about
those. This is an important thing for us. We're very committed to new work.
Mm-hmm.
In recent years, they're tragically some of the most important festivals or labs that develop new Latino plays were shut down, were kind of ended.
I
know, it's
funding, or what? Yeah.
Funding and artistic reasons, but South Coast Repertory, Mark Taper Theater, these two great theaters in California had very important festivals and labs for new Latino plays, and they were terminated. So we felt compelled to take up the slack in our own modest way. And
good.
So we're
we
committed.
Need that. And Chicago's really turning into a town for new works of all sorts.
Absolutely.
So, kudos to you for doing that, and the Goodman
for taking that. Well, the Goodman is very committed. One of our cornerstones of our mission is diversity, and another part of that, of the mission, is new work. So it seemed like a logical thing.
Yeah, when I had Bob Falls on, he emphasized that a lot, too.
Definitely. Yeah, and Bob
great.
Is very
So I
committed.
See several here.
Yeah, what's cool is that there are two of them that are actually new Mexican plays that we're doing in, one has never been heard in English before, that I saw in Mexico City last year. And it's called Little Certainties. And the star of that mm-hmm. piece, Cecilia Suarez, who was a huge TV movie star in Mexico, is coming to do it here in English.
To do the reading here
in
English.
Yeah, to do the reading in English, because she actually was here many years ago. She went to school in Illinois. She's Mexican. And actually was in several of the early productions of Teatro Vista. And she was in Christmas Carol that I directed many years ago. And Electricidad, which is a piece that we did here.
Yes, excellent piece.
And,
yes.
And then she went back to Mexico and became a huge movie star. And so we're thrilled that she can come back and reprise her role in English.
You think this show's got legs to be a full production?
I think so. It's a really interesting, really interesting piece. It's a kind of a mystery.
Oh.
Very, very kind of a...
Yeah, I'm reading it. Somebody disappears.
Yes, it's about a woman and her boyfriend disappears, and the boyfriend's brother and sister want to know what's up, because it seems that he has left all of the money, and he's just taken the house and he's turned the deed over to the girlfriend.
Oh,
so they're trying to figure out just what the heck is going on. And
mysteries are great on stage. I love them. They're very difficult, as a director.
Yes,
you know how they're hard to do.
And the writing is really cool. It's neat. It's neat to get a peek at what cutting-edge new playwriting is like in another country and hear it in English.
It does translate, though.
Oh, absolutely it does. And so we're very excited about that. And then another new Mexican play.
Let me make a note of that. On August 17th.
August 17th, Little Certainties. And it's being presented by Teatro Vista with some
And I'll see now, on some of those, On some stage readings, I have to know a little bit about them because at this time of year, as you know, there's a lot of them going on. But I'm putting an asterisk after this one.
Oh, yes,
yeah.
Please. That one you don't want to miss.
Okay.
And also, there's another one, too, that I think is going to be... it was just done in New York City last year by a small company, but it came out of a theater called The Lark in New York City that has a relationship with playwrights in Mexico, and they have a an exchange. And so this little play, Our Dad is in Atlantis, just translated last year by one of our greatest Latino playwrights, Jorge Ignacio Cortinas. And oh my gosh, it's the most devastatingly beautiful play. It's two characters, two young boys, brothers, 9 and 11. And it's just, without going too much into it, their father has had to leave them with the grandmother because the mother has died, and he crosses over to the U.S. to work, to make money for them. And then the grandmother dies, and they're like, what do we do now? We have to go find Dad.
Oh, wow.
And all they have to go on is a postcard that they got from him from Atlanta. But the littlest son, the youngest son, thinks it says Atlantis. So he says, our dad is in Atlantis. We have to go find him. And I'm just telling you, it gives me goosebumps because it's the most beautifully written play, and it's just heartbreaking. And
sounds like you're interested in this play a lot.
This play is going to have a life. Yeah, it's going to have a major life. So,
because people love these kind of stories. Yeah.
Oh, it's just beautiful. And so I think
people that's
really
on August 16th.
August 16th, Saturday afternoon.
Okay. And they can get tickets for the stuff.
Actually, all of these are free, I believe.
Oh, the stage readings are free.
Oh, so folks, all you have to do is show up and say you saw it here first.
Okay.
And a good time will be had by all, I guarantee it.
And you had mentioned earlier that you have a component for younger people.
That's right.
So maybe we should deal with that.
Sure. Well, besides Esperanza, we have a company coming from Mexico City at the final weekend. The weekend of... Well, actually, there's two. There's... first, let me back up because it's one of our local companies that I am so proud to be presenting, and that's Albany Park Theater Project.
Yes, I don't know them, but...
Oh, my goodness. Yeah? You have to see them. They have been flying under the radar, but let me tell you, they are extraordinary. And what they do in Albany Park, in that community, which is a port of entry community,
yes,
57
it is.
Different languages spoken in that community.
Yeah, that's right. They're every ethnic group.
Every ethnic group in the city is represented in that small community. And so they take young people from Roosevelt High School and Von Steuben, which are the two high schools in that area, and they create theater with these kids, all original pieces, all performed by the young adults of that community. And it's, and luckily they have a brilliant artistic director in David Finer, and it is the most beautiful, just thought-provoking, heartbreaking theater you will ever see. It's remarkable. We're so proud that they're here.
What a break for them too, to get the cloud of the Goodman to
We're happy to do it. That's part of the mission of the festival is to share audiences and to make
and their show. First one I see on here is August 12th.
That's right.
And what's the name of it?
It's called Aquí Estoy, which in Spanish means here I am, I am here, depending on your point of view. So I would include that in terms of in what, you know, in our young audience, young adult programming, as well as Luna Negra Dance Theater, which is actually for everybody, young adults and old people too. This is the first time we've had dance in the festival.
Yeah, that's quite an element because dance is so important in every culture.
It's so theatrical.
Yeah,
and
the Latino
so
community of all of the dance is terrific.
And Luna Negra, let me tell you, Luna Negra is a fabulous dance theater company, and they just do beautiful, beautiful work. If you've never seen them, this is a great chance to come and get a taste of what they do.
Mexican primarily or no?
All from different Latino cultures. So I think what they're presenting is something that they call antojitos or appetizers.
And a sampling of new works.
That's
too,
right.
Yeah. Okay.
We're lucky.
It's
cool because they're coming and they're doing little segments of three world premiere pieces that they're doing in September in their big concert at the Harris Dance Theater.
Oh, okay. So
it's a sneak preview. Oh. And what's cool is they'll do like a 20-minute segment, and then they'll have a discussion with the choreographer, the director, and the audience, and we all get to talk about it.
Good. So you folks that love all that stuff at the Harris, I know I catch some of it, but I appreciate it. It's just hard to write about it when I don't have the technical knowledge of dance.
Well,
or
this
ballet.
Is great because you actually get to ask the choreographer about it and talk about how they create this work and all of that. So
it's
a really cool opportunity.
Okay, and now for all ages, you've got.
And then there's a puppet piece from Mexico City that I saw last year. This is a beautiful, beautiful little piece. It's really gorgeous puppetry, and it is in Spanish, but we are supertitling it. And it's the music, because it's all about a young orphan who gets left at this orphanage because his family can't afford to take care of him. And it's an orphanage that teaches kids to be tradesmen. Blacksmiths, carpenters,
whatever. It gives them skills.
Yeah. And it's run by this crusty old Catholic priest, you know, who kind of, you know, is just old and doesn't believe in frivolous things. And this little orphan boy, he just wants to be a musician. He wants to be music is all he cares about. And so the blacksmith kind of takes him under his wing and encourages him to follow his dream. And in fact, it's full of the most gorgeous music you can imagine. And the puppetry is really just
interesting.
World,
so it's a little Billy Elliot-ish in a way.
Yeah, with puppetry.
With puppetry, yeah. Terrific.
Yeah, so that'll be great.
Okay. So in the time we have, I see the variety here. This is a three-week festival that's beginning, it actually begins on the 8th and runs all the way through the end of the month, right?
That's right, three weekends.
On the Goodman site. And there's all kinds of things going on, so...
Yeah.
So if you come early, because there's always something in the lobby.
There's
or
always
reading.
Something. And we have music every Friday night after the shows, and the bar is open, and it's a big party. It's just, this year we really wanted to make it feel like a festival, like a celebration. So there's always stuff going on. There's always going to be food and drink and music.
You sound like you're really proud of this, because you really did your homework to come up with this.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm very privileged to be able to do it, definitely.
Well, let's talk about a couple of things. One of the, you as a director, the cook that you did it a while back, that was marvelous.
Oh, thank you so much. That was a special one to me. That was by Cuban-American playwright Eduardo Machado. And I was born in Cuba, and actually about exactly when that play started. And I was born in August of 58. That play was set in December of 1958. So, you know, it had to do with everything I grew up hearing about, even though I didn't remember it. I was only three when we came. It's the world I grew up with. And we even on the set, because it took place in the kitchen of a wealthy Cuban family, and on the set, we had a picture of the matriarch of the family.
Yes,
it was actually a picture of my mom.
Was it really?
an old picture of my mom.
I remember interviewing Karen Aldrich.
Is she
a talent? Wow.
She sure is. Well, I mean, half the show was what it was because of her. She's just brilliant.
Yeah, she really is. And besides this, you're involved with Victory Gardens.
Yes.
And you don't have enough to do.
No, I
Tell
need
us
a hobby.
A little about that.
Well, it's a new festival that they have going on this summer, this week, called the Ignition Project, the Ignition Festival, and it's basically a new play festival of readings of new minority
these are
plays.
younger kids,
young
too,
emerging minority playwrights, African American and Latino and Asian, and what they do is they take these young emerging playwrights and they partner them with old crusty directors, directors that are more established and that can give them hopefully an avenue into the profession.
Boy, that's got to be a nice break for these kids.
It's
especially
fantastic.
Getting somebody like yourself, an experienced pro that really knows what he's doing.
It's great. It's a really smart idea, and it's great that Victory Gardens is doing this.
Yeah.
And it's all because the Ford Foundation was smart enough to give them a big grant to do it.
So. Well, folks, not only is Henry a busy man, but you also did something for Chicago Shakespeare, the Romeo and Juliet in Spanish, which again, Randy Hardwick reviewed it in Spanish, too.
Oh, cool.
Which I didn't get to see because, there's just so many things going on. But you directed that, too.
I did. I have deep roots with Chicago Shakespeare Theater. I used to be a, I was trained as an actor, as a classical actor, and I worked for many, many years with Barbara in the early days before the Pier, when we were at Ruth Page Auditorium. Mm-hmm. And I love Barbara dearly. And
major talent. Yeah.
Oh, she's amazing. I just love her. And so they called and they said, you know, we got this grant from the Joyce Foundation to explore, developing our Latino audiences and doing a Spanish language Shakespeare. And so we talked and eventually came up with the idea of doing a bilingual Romeo and Juliet, an abridged version, 75 minutes. And so we had a week to workshop it. And we worked with Karen Zacarias, a great playwright DC, and Elizabeth Pena, who is, as you probably know, a fabulous movie star, came in to play Lady Capulet for us, just to give us a little cachet.
Bit of cachet.
Yes, and actually, you guys can't see it, but my friend Marco Rodriguez, who was in our production of Zoot Suit, who's on the wall here in the theater, came in to do Lord Capulet. And we did it at Little Village High School, Little Village Lawndale High School down
so
the Little
So you did it
Village.
Right in the middle of
You bet. We took it right into the community.
Yeah,
you bet.
Terrific.
And it was so rewarding and so gratifying, and people loved it.
Well, and when you have nothing else to do, one of your day jobs is you're a professor at Northwestern. Tell us what you do there.
That's my big day job, and I love it. I'm an associate professor at Northwestern. I teach acting. And I'm the artistic director of the Theater and Interpretation Center at Northwestern, which is our complex of theaters up there. And I'm responsible for kind of putting together our season of performances at TIC.
Well, I've always told people that when there's Northwestern and there's all the other colleges. Many of the productions that come through, I've told Don Mancini that too. Many of the productions that they do at Northwestern are better than some of the tours that come through here.
Well, thank you for saying that. I think Dominic would be very happy that you say that.
Well,
it is true. We're very, very excited about the work we do. And I used to teach at DePaul, and we, you know, do great work there. I love the
DePaul is really emerging.
It's a great place, but you know, that's a conservatory, and that really and they're proud of the fact that the focus is on training, really extensive training of young actors. And Northwestern, it's different. It's a liberal arts school, and so it's apples and oranges. But I love being up there. I love my colleagues and my students, and I have a lot of fun doing it.
Well, you had some terrific students in Dangerous Beauty that just opened.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, yeah,
marvelous piece. Yeah. But some of the students, I mean, we know the equity actors who were in it are such pros, but I'm always impressed by the students. A couple of years later, you see them, you're at the Goodman or on tour.
In fact, Marriott. A couple of those students are actually my students in my acting class and rising juniors, and they're really tremendously talented. And, you know, I love teaching because in the end, I end up working with them in the profession. In Esperanza, I have the girl that plays Esperanza is a student of mine.
Yeah, she's terrific.
Thank you. Maite Alvarez.
I didn't know how to say the first name. Maite. Maite Alvarez, yeah.
And I have three other Northwestern students, and I have a couple of DePaul students in there. And
good, you're using homegrown, and that's great. That's what we need.
Yes, absolutely.
That way we want to keep them here.
And I'm going to turn my phone off before it starts making noise. But and in the Romeo and Juliet, I had ex-students in that. It's just so gratifying to teach because it's the future, you know.
My last question, in the interest of time.
Okay.
What is your goal for like 5 years from now? What do you want to do that maybe you haven't done, or how do you see yourself in 5 years?
Ah, boy, that's a good question. Well. You know, I guess I should stop and think five years ahead.
Is there a show that you just have to do or?
You know, there are some shows that I have to do. I think that I would, you know, one of the things that I would like to do is that I would like to find the Latino musical, and I was very excited for all of the wonderful people connected to In the Heights that won several Tonys this last year in New York. The book writer is a good friend of ours, Kiera Alegría Udes, and You know, so one of the things I'd like to do is I'd like to find the Latino version of Wicked, and I would like to offer that up to the world, you know.
That would be terrific.
Just because I would like the Latino community and Latino audiences to be that celebrated, that kind of thrust into the main.
Well, have you considered John Rieger's show?
Cesar
Chavez?
I love that piece. Absolutely.
Yeah,
I love that piece too.
I saw both the version that was here and when they had the reading up in the high school up on the North Shore.
That's a beautiful, beautiful piece, and we continue to play with that.
Okay.
But also, I don't know. I guess I definitely would love to see the festival continue to grow and take on even more components. I would love to see some of our local Latino theater companies have a permanent home. I'd love to see Teatro Vista.
Yeah, they need one.
Yeah, I would. I'd love to see the city help us find a home. Chuck Smith and I talk about this all the time. A permanent home that's Congo Square and Teatro Vista could share.
Yeah, both of you guys, absolutely. And they both need an audience. They need a home, right?
Yeah,
because
we
have to have both groups survive.
Absolutely, because their
art is tremendous. And, I couldn't agree with you more.
And, you know, we've been fighting and struggling for years, and I'd love to see, that would be a goal, I think.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
And folks, remember, go see a play this week.
Hello, Chicago, and welcome to the Talk Theater in Chicago News podcast. I'm your host, Dustin Moat, bringing you the theater news for the week of August 11th, 2008. Well, after over 1 year of anticipation, Dirty Dancing, the classic story on stage, will be making its U.S. premiere at the Cadillac Palace Theater on September 28th. The show has already enjoyed some of the stages of the world in places such as Sydney, Toronto, and London, and now it's Chicago's turn to see this hit musical before any New York audience. Dirty Dancing, the classic story on stage, is based on the 1987 film and tells the story of Frances Baby Houseman, a teenager in the early 1960s who joins her family on a summer trip to a Catskills mountain resort. Joseph Brown will be playing Johnny Castle, and Amanda Lee Cobb stars in the role of Baby. For your chance to see Dirty Dancing from September 28th through this December 7th at the Cadillac Palace Theater, click on over to Theater in Chicago's Coming Soon section. The Chicago Tribune is reporting that Second City Theater may soon find itself as the somewhat official White House comedy troupe. Their hit show, Between Barack and a Hard Place, has been seen by some of Obama's senior staff and by Michelle Obama herself, who apparently found it quite hilarious. Now the Second City will be the headline entertainment at an event hosted by Senator Dick Durbin and Representative Rahm Emanuel. This, of course, will be during the Democratic National Convention in Denver. We could soon see one of Chicago's most loved companies on an international stage. Now that's the kind of change I'd like to see. Be sure to check out Theater in Chicago's news section for Ann Nicholson Weber's article on The Theater and the Critic. She covers last week's interview that she had with some of Chicago's most prolific theater critics, and it was a really good interview. And if you missed it, you should definitely check it out. Thank you for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago News podcast. Remember, you can find us here every Monday with more news ready for you to enjoy. So, until next Monday, that is the theater news from Talk Theater in Chicago, and I'm your host, Dustin Moat. Thank you for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast. I would like to thank Henry Godinez for giving us the honor of interviewing him this week. I would also like to thank Ann Nicholson Weber and Mark Meyer. Without them, this podcast would not be possible. And I would also like to thank you, our listening audience. Remember, we will be here every Monday with a new episode ready for your listening pleasure. So, until next Monday, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you, Chicago, to keep talking theater.